spoke a lot about Purim. Just really fast for the halachas. Tomorrow is Tanis Esther. The fast begins at 5:57 in the morning. The fast, really, if you can, you should fast till after the reading of the Megillah. If you can't, you could have a coffee after Ma'ariv, right? At Seisa Kechavim, you could have a coffee before the reading of the Megillah, because this year it's an hour later, but that's only for people who cannot sit through the reading of the Megillah because they're very, very, very weak. Tomorrow there's Slichos, not really for the ladies. It's a very big day to say a special perek in Tehillim, which is Ayelas HaShachar, which is, hold on, I'll tell you which perek. Chavav, I think, no? Chavbeis, okay. So to say Kapitel Chavbeis, ladies, tomorrow, take out your Tehillim and say Kapitel, chapter 22. Okay, because that is the chapter of Esther Hamalka, who was called Ayelas HaShachar, which is the morning star. Okay. Now, that's what you're supposed to say.
No,
on Purim, you're also supposed to say this perek, Ayelas HaShachar. This Friday morning at 6:57, is the rising of the sun. Netzachama. So it's a very big inyan. People, girls who want shiduchim, whatever you want in life. Purim morning, at the rise of the sun, which is at 6:57 to say Shemona Esrei. There are many minyanim I wanted to bring tonight. There are many, I'll try to email tomorrow to everyone who has email. There are many minyanim around Brooklyn where they're going to have, it's called Vasikin Minyanim, where they start davening at 6:15, and then by 6:57 they're up to Shemona Esrei. If you can't go to Minyan, you should definitely say it at home. That means that you should start davening at 6:57. You should be up to Shemona Esrei at 6:57. And at the moment it turns 6:57, you should start Shemona Esrei. It is Vasikin on Erev Shabbos. Also on the day of Purim is a very holy moment. And you can pretty much, we're going to learn tonight, you can pretty much ask for anything in the world that you want. You're not being judged. You're not being questioned. And it's a very big thing to get up. Many women do this in Eretz Yisrael. You can't even get to near the coastal on the women's side on the morning of Purim by Vasikin. So Vasikin is at 6:57. Women have the same laws as men. You have to hear Megillah at night and in the morning. Not just at night. Many women think it's just at night. You have to hear it in the morning. You have the mitzvah of Shlachmanos. If you're a young girl in your mother's house, you cannot take food from the fridge and give it because that's your parents' food. You can go over to your father and say, give me a present, two items of food. Then it belongs to you. And then you can give that away. Or you can go buy from your own money and give shlachmanas. But even a wife, I know you're not going to like this, but what the wife owns, the husband owns. That's the halach in the Torah. So the wife gives shlachmanas, it's not hers. So she went into the, and she bought shlachmanas, it's his money. So even the wife, the halach really is that you need to go to your husband and say, give me as a present the shlachmanas. The rest of the shlachmanas you give to everyone, you need to give one package of two items of food. So you go with your husband and say, give me a present, an apple and a piece of cake, then take that shlachmanas and give it to another woman and your yaitza. But you can't just buy or take your own stuff. It has to be yours. It's very, very important. He'll be very happy that when you come and you say, give me as a present, all you want is an apple and a piece of cake. So he's going to be like, wow, that's great. He'll give it to you. You don't have to worry about it. So that's, and matanas levyonim, giving money to the poor, the same thing if you work for yourself. So it's a whole shayla. But if it's a girl that's working for herself, then it's her money. But a wife should ask her husband also to give her as a matana, let's say $5, $10, and that money she should give to the poor people. Because she has the same mitzvahs that the husband has. Okay. Masha kana isha, kana rabba. Whatever the woman owns, the husband owns. But whatever the husband owns, the woman doesn't own. Okay, don't stone me. All right, anyway. So now that we got off on the right step, let's talk a little bit about Purim. Okay. Just so much. Okay, let's try to understand, first of all, the Aveira that the Jews did on Purim. Let's try to understand what they did wrong. If we look at the Megillah, you will see that Rashi, Chazal tell us that the party that we had by Achashverosh was kosher. It was kosher. I don't want to say it was Meal Mart. I don't know if it was Meal Mart, you know, or Mazon in Queens. I don't know who was catering it, but it probably wasn't Meal Mart or Mazon. But it was, on that level, it was OU certified. It was very kosher. So when the advertisement went out, come to Achashverosh's party, it said, for all the Jewish people, kosher food is being served, kosher wine is being served, the waiters are Jewish waiters, only waiters, Jewish people, right? Bring your svarim to learn at the table. There will be Bechat HaMazon, Rabim. Yeah. Bechat HaMazon, they came to the table, there were benchers. It was amazing. Challahs, all the kosher food, chopped liver, pechar, grievin, cholent, an overnight potato kugel. It was amazing. Now the question is, and this is really what my share is about tonight. It's going to get a little deep. The question is, if Achashverosh and Haman were trying to get us to sin so that Hashem would sign the thing that we should be killed, shouldn't they have served lobster and pig and all the unkosher foods? And if the Jews would eat unkosher foods, Hashem's going to get angry and Hashem's going to punish them. So what was this whole plan of Achashverosh and Haman? What was this whole plan to give us kosher food with kosher waiters, separate seating? I don't want to get Lipa in trouble. And even Lipa wasn't invited to that. Whatever. There was no concert. It was like perfect. Separate seating. How do you know there was separate seating? Who here knows how it was separate seating? Because it says that Vashti made a party for the women in a different palace. So the women were mamash chassidish. They were in a different building. They were in a different building. They weren't even in the same building. What an unbelievable party. Every rabbi, every Jew went to the party. It was perfect. Separate seating, kosher food, good waiters, Bechat HaMazon. Probably someone got up and said it's Vatayra. Right? It was a beautiful party. What's Hashem getting all bent out of shape? Sign them, kill them, wipe them out, children, women, wiped out. What did we do wrong? By the Egel, he didn't sign on a piece of paper, we should all be wiped out, totally. Right? All the other virus we did our whole lives. Here, we went to a kosher party. What do you want from us? There was one rabbi, one out there rabbi, strict, crazy, you know, rebel rabbi, standing by the door. They probably even put a mezuzah up for the Jews. Standing by the door, screaming by the club, don't go in! You can't go to this party! I'm a shugana. Separate seating, the king, kosher food, kosher wine, mayim chayim soda. Come on! What's wrong with this man? And Mordechai is standing, he says, I'm telling you, it's a plan. It's a plan by Achashverosh. It's a plan by Haman. They want to take us. They want to destroy us. They want to wipe us out. You cannot go to this party. And the Jews filed in one after another. And they sat down at the party. And they washed hamotzi. They had hamotzi stations. I'm telling you the medrash. They had hamotzi stations. Go wash on a tilas yadayim. They probably had a guy with a paper towel. Right? And there was one Jew, actually two, Mordechai and Esther, that stood outside and said, don't go in there. It's going to be the end of us. And they all liked him. He's a Meshuggah now. He's a Meshuggah now. So let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Haman. Mr. Achashverosh. Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where do you see Haman's name in the Chumash? Sounds like a very silly question. Haman wasn't alive in the Chumash. He didn't live in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. He didn't live in Avram's time. He didn't live in Yitzchak's time. So what kind of question is being asked by Chazal? Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where are you going to find Haman in the Torah? You're not going to find Haman in the Torah. He lived way, way after the Torah. Wrong. Let me find you Haman in the Torah. Listen carefully. Thank you. Somebody here is learning. So it says the following. And Hashem called to Adam and he said, where are you? So Adam answered Hashem, I heard your voice, and I realized I am not dressed. I covered myself up. Vayomer Hashem said, Mihi gid lecha ki eiramata? Who told you you're not dressed? Haman ha'eitz? Asher tzivisicha? Hamin ha'eitz? From the tree that I commanded you, levilti ochem yimeno l'chalta? Did you eat from that tree? Haman's name in the Torah is in the first sin that was ever done. Hey, Mem Nun, Hamin ha'eitz, Hashem said, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Who is Haman? Haman Amalek. Who is Amalek? Amalek Ze Esav. Who is Esav? Esav Ze Nachash. Who is the Nachash? Nachash Ze Satan. Haman was the Satan. Listen carefully, it's amazing. What Haman and Eitz, they're right next to each other. Hamin ha'Eitz, right? What is the whole Purim? The eights. He built an eights to hang Mordechai. He got hung on the eights. It's all about the eights. You know why it's all about the eights? Because Haman's core is from the eights. Hamin ha'eitz. Listen carefully. I'm throwing stuff out tonight. Just grab it, even if you don't understand it. Why is he busy hanging? Hanging Mordechai. Chop his head off. Kill him. All the other Jews are going to go to war and kill. He had this big thing, 50 feet tall. Everyone's going to see. He's going to hang from the tree. Because I am from the tree. Haman is from the tree. Because it's from the tree, the Eitz Hadash, that the Nachash got Esther to eat from. So everything started. Haman started. His whole power was Hamin ha'Eitz, was from the tree. But that was his downfall. Because what happened with the tree? He went over to Chava and he said to Chava, there's one thing in Gan Eden that you can't have. That Hashem has. And that's the Eitz Hadas. He knows good from bad, and you don't. And she should have answered, okay, I have everything else. I got a husband, I got food, I got everything I need. Life's great. So there's some tree out there that God has that I don't have. But what happened? Haman, the Satan, put into us this terrible avera of kinna, of jealousy, that even if we have everything, but someone has one thing that I don't have, I can't breathe, I can't live, I got to take it away from him. I know stories of billionaires, mamish billionaires, and this guy has a building that this guy doesn't have, and he's going to lose all his money, but he's going to take that building away from him. Doesn't matter what it's going to cost him. That comes from the eights. And that was the mistake, Chava. We had everything. Chava ate, took from the tree. What did you take from the tree? You had everything else. That was the Nachash. But it hurt Haman. Because Haman became part of the tree. Because the Nachash did the Aveira with Chava. So Haman had everything. And if you look in the Pasuk, I have to keep flipping. If you look in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, he is invited to the party. Listen to this, it's amazing. Everything's connected. I don't know, I get chills. I don't know about you guys. Says the following. In the Pasuk, he comes back. Now what happened to my Medrash? He comes back from being invited to Esther's party. And what does he say? He tells his wife, I was invited to the party. Where is Megillas Esther? Where did you go? Hold on a second. A little Yetzirah here. I don't know where he went. He went out of my book. Hold on. Okay, anyway, I don't know where he went. He comes out of the party, and he says to his wife, to Zeresh, he says, Einenu shoveli. Oh, here it is, thank you. All this that I have, he had 10 sons, which by the Persian was a big thing to have boys. He had 10 sons, and he was the richest person in the world, and he was second to the king. He had everything. And the whole Jewish nation bowed down to him. And he comes home to Zeresh and he says, darling, you're not going to believe it. I got invited to the party with the queen. Right? Listen to this. Vayomer Haman. Haman says, Afki lo hivya Esther hamalkim hamalech lemishta. I just got to the party with Achashverosh to the party. Asher asisa. That she did. You're not going to believe it. She invited me again to another party. I'm great. Aren't I great? She invited me to two parties. And then he says the words. But I want you to know, Zeresh. He's talking to his wife. Einenu shavuli, it ain't worth nothing. I'm the richest, the most powerful. I'm invited to the queen. Maybe she likes me. You know, she has a crush on me. Wow, this is crazy. Like, I'm the man, right? He says it's all not worth it to me. B'chol eis, any moment asher ani royas Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar melech. All this worthless. You know why? There's one old rabbi sitting on the corner, and every time I look at him, I can't take it. He won't bow down to me. Meshugana. You rule the world. There's one old rabbi who the Jews don't like because they're blaming him for everything. So he doesn't bow down to you. Who cares? Give him a kick. Who cares? No, Zeresh, I can't live with it. Everything I have, it's meaningless. I'm beyond myself. I need therapy. I need pills. I need all kinds of stuff. I'm shaking. I'm nervous. Why? You have everything. No, but this is a Jewish guy. He's not bowing down to me. I can't deal with it. Right? So this brain, this smart woman, Zeresh, and she happened to have been a bigger Russia than him. She was teeny. She was a big Russia. Right? But Tomoloi Zeresh Ishtoi, it says she was bigger than a thumb, but it's just an expression. And V'chol Lehavav. So they all came up with this master plan. Yasu 8, make a tree. Gavoya chamishim amo. Make a tree 50 feet tall. Im ha-melech el-amishta sameach. You'll hang him, and then you'll come to the king, and you'll be happy. You have everything, but you got to hang this one old Jew. You got to hang him, because if you don't hang him, you're not happy. So what happened to Haman, his mistake, was that he was from the Nachash and from the 8, and therefore he had the same problem. That no matter what he had, he had to have the one thing that he couldn't have. And the one thing that Haman couldn't have was Mordechai. And that was what destroyed him. Because he came from this tree. But it's not over. The Gemara says, what was the Eitz Hadas? The Eitz Hadas was a grapevine. It was a grapevine. It's a machlok is what it was. But pretty much the Gemara says that the Eitz Hadas was a grapevine. Listen to this. Along came Haman and said to Achashverosh, let's do it to him again. They once got angry, God angry very much. Adam and Chava, they ate from a grapevine they weren't supposed to eat from. Let's remind Hashem of that Avera. Let's bring the Jews to a party of wine. Let's get all the Jews drunk. Let's get them to come to this party. Let them make brachas. Let them say Dvar Torah. Let them bench. And the secret that you need to know is the following. And I said this a long time ago. And if you have a chance, I wish I could learn with you inside the Kava Yashar. If you can get it in English, read the Kava Yashar, the three parakim. I think it's Peites, Peches, Peites, and Tzadik. Read what he says about the whole story. But what he says is the following: the Yetzirah, the dark side, doesn't get any life from the dark side. It gets life from the light side, from us, from our neshamas. Now, if an idol worshiper walks into a bar and drinks 10 gallons of vodka and acts like an idiot and throws up all over the place, the Sultan gets nothing. But if a Jewish person goes into a bar and makes a shahakol near bivoro and a bari nefashos, the Sultan gets those brachas. And that's what keeps him alive, and that's what gives him a power. So Achashverosh and Haman said, let us take all the power of all the Jewish people. Girls are going to go to a separate dinner. Boys are going to go to a separate dinner. Let them come. We are going to supply the food, says the Kava Yashar. We are going to buy. We're buying for everybody. We're going to supply the food that they're going to make the brachas on. We're going to get the brachas. We're going to get their energy. And not only that, what happened, if you read this story, what happened, Nebuch, to the Jews is they went to the party. They ate kosher, they made brachos, they began to drink. And it says that they drank, that Achashverosh gave you, if you were 80 years old, the wine was 80 years old. If you were 40 years old, the wine was 40 years old. And he continually gave you wine, he continually gave you wine, and you never drank wine in the same glass. You drank in a gold goblet, you finished it, they threw out the goblet, gave you a new gold goblet, and you were able to keep the one that you, this is a party. You were able to keep the gold goblet that you drank from, and they gave you a new one, and they poured wine again, not from the same bottle. This is now, what is this Meshugana king? He's going to such great ends. If you're 80, you get 80. If you're 40, you get 40. What's going on over here? Their master plan was to fool the Jews in Nebuch. We are all fooled like this. That they should supply the food, the idol worshippers. It should come from them. In the end, they got so drunk that Achashverosh invited Vashti to come and dance in front of all these Jews. Unclothed, not dressed. My high, what kind of party? I thought this was a kosher party. He invited Vashti, and she was going. And she was going to dance in front of everyone at the party, unclothed, at this kosher party. And the only reason she did it was because Hashem gave her a machla, that she became, her skin became very disgusting, and she couldn't go, and she couldn't go down, which was a revenge, because she did the same thing to the Jewish girls. It's a separate lesson. But here, look where this party went from. Kosher, catered, mezuzah, waiters, to a woman, unclothed, supposed to dance in front of all the men. And on top of that, they took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash of the Holy of Holies, and they started serving food in the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews sat there. And Hashem said, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. My kelim from my Kodesh Kedoshim and my Beis HaMikdash, you're sitting at a party, and that's what you're eating from? And that's where you're drinking from. Signed, sealed, delivered, you're dead. Finished. And Mordechai sat and he cried and he said, I told you not to go into the club. What's the mezuzah? It doesn't mean anything. What's the kosher food? Don't go on the internet. Somebody called me today, Rabbi Wallerstein, you gotta go on Facebook. So why do I gotta go on Facebook? You gotta see these crazy Purim parties that are advertised, girls and boys, in all kinds of places in New York. Purim, come in a costume. There'll be mezuzahs on the door, kosher, glatt kosher. You think the Satan Haman's dead? You think he forgot how to do this? And Mordechai begged the Jews and sat Achashverosh and Haman, and they were yoinik, the dark side was yoinik from every Jew. It sucked out all their holiness and gave them such unbelievable power in the other world, the power for the first time ever and the last time ever in the creation of the world, that God signed us a death warrant. He never, ever signed the Jewish nation a death warrant. That's how much energy and power he took from the Jewish soul. You know, I have this fight all the time. People go to the movies. Go to the movies. Terrible place. They sit down and they watch a movie that's written by an idol worshiper that has physical things always in behind it, even Disney. Rav Shimshon Pinkus got up and he screamed. When I first heard it, I thought, Rav Pinkus, you're a little off the wall. A little off the wall. He said, do you know that Disney is the most pornographic, as he said in his share, the most pornographic studio in the whole world? I'm like, Rabbi Pinkus, Disney? Beauty and the Beast? The Lion King? What is he talking about? And he said, they're worse than a studio that puts out dirty pictures, because no Jewish person would ever let their child watch that. But they let him watch The Lion King and all these other things. And what are they doing? They're hugging and kissing this, but they put it into animals. So the kids are watching his heart, his love, and it's rated G, right? He was brilliant, Rabbi Pinkus. He was brilliant. And he took apart the movies and he said, it's all about hugging and kissing and loving, but they put it in animals so that you don't realize it. So it's a subliminal message. Beauty and the Beast, all these things, it's about girl and boy relationships. There is not a Disney, The Little Mermaid, you want to go through anyone, there's not a Disney where there's not a boy and girl saga in it. Where there's not a relationship between a boy and a girl. What's up? Why are we showing that to little kids? Because the little kid's thinking, when it sees the lion and the other lion, he's thinking boy, girl, the lioness and the lion. So they're when you first hear it, you're like, Wallerstein, you're out of your mind. You're like Mordechai who stands by the door. You're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. Rabbi Pinkus wasn't crazy. It's hidden. The Satan, that's his koyach. It's a kosher Purim party. It's a kosher Christmas party. I go, yeah, Rabbi, I can go to a Christmas party because my company got special catered food for me. Okay, nebuch the food, it's usually airplane food, right? Got special catered. So you're going to a Christmas party, but you're eating kosher and you feel like I'm a tzaddik. And meanwhile, every bracha that you're making on that kosher food goes to them. Goes to the other side. And that was Haman and Achashverosh's absolute brilliance. And we fell for it very deep. One came Esther Hamalka, who was so brilliant. And I don't have the time to do what I did last night. I gave a 3-hour share, whatever. To go into her brilliance was amazing. The war between her and Haman was amazing. And she said, you think you're smart, but you don't know who I am. You don't know that I'm Jewish. And that was Mordechai's master plan, because if Haman the Sultan knows that you're Jewish, he would never come to your party. Because your party is to take all the ruchnias that Haman took from his party, and now you're inviting him to your party, and you're paying for the food. It was Esther's party. And Esther took back everything that they took at their party. But Haman didn't know that she was Jewish. And that was the biggest tikkun. Because what was Chava's big avera? Chava's big avera was she yapped too much. When the Nachash came over to her and said, "What's going on? Are you allowed to touch the tree? Are you not allowed to touch the tree?" She should have said, you want to know the halachas of the tree? Go ask my husband. But she got into a nice lady-like discussion. Oh, you want to know about the tree? Let me tell you about the tree. Hashem said we can't even touch it, even though that she added that. And she got into a whole discussion. And then, of course, once a woman gets into a discussion with a man, it's over. He trapped her, and she ended up eating from the Eitz Hadas. Now, I'm not talking about from your husband. That you should have discussions with your husband. But a different man. So her avera was, she talked too much. What did Mordechai say to Esther? Listen to me. Who are we fighting? Not a guy named Haman. We're fighting the Nachash from the tree. Shut up. Don't tell him your name. Don't talk to nobody. Do a tikkun for what Chava did. Don't talk. Your mistake last time you came up against Haman, last time you came up against the snake, well, you talk too much. Don't talk at all. They're going to ask you, queen, where are you from? Who's your father? Where are you born? Quiet. Shtika. And because she was misakin, she fixed that. She invited the enemy to her party, and he never knew who she was. So here, why didn't she just, if she wanted to tell Achashverosh that Haman was trying to kill Klal Yisrael, why are you making a party, miyayin it was called, a party of wine? Why don't you just call him into a room, king, call him to the throne room, invite Haman, stand next to the king, say, see that guy? That guy wants to kill me. What's with the party bit? Come to my chamber, we're going to have a drink. We're going to have a yayin, a mishteh of yayin, which he did twice. Achashverosh also had two parties for everybody and then for the people in Shushan. So she made two parties. She did it twice. And that fool Haman, who didn't know she was Esther and that she was being misakein, came to her party, was yoinek, was nourished from Esther's party. She took back everything they took by our party, which gave her the koyach to destroy him. Esther was not Esther Hamelka, some girl with some little crown on her head. She was very, very brilliant. Let me tell you a little bit about Esther Hamelka and Mordechai. It says the following. When this whole thing was going down, that we were going to be destroyed, so Esther Hamelka, through Ruach HaKodesh, she had Ruach HaKodesh, she said certain things in the Megillah that you can only say if you had Ruach HaKodesh, and she went up to Shemayim, and she met the malach that stands by the gate of the Chatzar of Hashem. There's a curtain in Shemayim. And if you want to know, it's called the Proyudah. If you want to know what's going on by Hashem in Shemayim, you have to listen on the other side of the Proyudah. She went up, she met a malach. And she said to the malach, what's the deal? This was after the party. What's Hashem's reaction to the Jews going to the party? And he said the following words, Mach Rush. That's what he answered her. Sounds angelic. Mach Rush? What does that mean? When he said that to her, that's when she said, this kapitel Tehillim, this chapter Tehillim, you have to say tomorrow. And in the kapitel, in the chapter of Tehillim, she said the following, Keli, Keli, Aleph Lamed Yud, Loma Azaftani, Hashem, Hashem, why did you leave me? Whoa, what does that mean? Mach Rosh. The Klai, everyone who has a name, if you chas v'shalom lose letters of your name, it means you're leaving this world. Your name has to stay whole. Yisrael is our name as a nation. Hashem, after we went to that party and we sat by this king and we did what we did, Hashem took his name out of Yisrael. Yisrael is spelled Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed. If you take the Aleph, Lamed, and Yud out of Yisrael, you are left with two letters, a resh and a shin. That's rush. So the malach said, Esther, I'm sorry. Hashem removed his name from Klal Yisrael. You're finished. But there's an angel in Shemayim that protects us. It's our defending angel, and his name is Michael. And he said, you don't have him either. And when a malach loses his letters, he has no power. He disintegrates. He has no power. And the malach said to Esther, Mach. Hashem took Aleph Lamed Yud out of Michael, and all that's left is a mem and a chaf. Your malach is finished, and you're finished. Turned around Esther Hamalka to Hashem and said, Keli, Keli, twice. You took your name out of Yisrael. You took your name out of Michael. Lama Azavtani, why did you leave me? I need your name. Without your name, there's no Yisrael, there's no Michael. We're finished. And this was the tefillah, this Perek in Tehillim. And that's why we're supposed to say that Perek Tehillim that Esther said to save Klal Yisrael. We're going to go much further than that. The Haman, as we said, Min HaTorah, comes from the Eitz Hadas. The person has five senses. When we went to the Eitz Hadas, the Satan wanted us to hurt every sense that we had. So when she went to the Eitz Hadas, she spoke to the Nachash. She touched the fruit. She looked at the fruit. And she ate the fruit. And she listened to the Nachash. The only thing, Baruch Hashem, she did not do, she didn't smell the fruit. Besamim, Matzah Shabbat, we smell besamim because everything else in the world became tamei when she ate from the Eitz Hadas, because she used all her senses to do that avera, so all the senses became tamei. The only sense that did not become tamei is smell. And smell is when your neshama leaves you, the extra neshama, Matzah Shabbat, so you have to replace it with something. But you can't replace it with something that's tamei. So the only thing you can replace it with that's never become tamei is smell. That's why we make a bayim and avisamim. Let's say Shabbat. Because that was the only thing that wasn't touched. Now, let's look at the two names of the people who took Haman down. Haman's whole power was the Eitz Hadas. One of them's name was Mordechai. And the other one's name was Esther. But the Megillah says, Esther Zu Hadassah. Make up your mind. What's her name? Esther is a Hadassah. What's a Hadassah? A myrtle. Myrtle, I don't know if you've ever smelled it, but myrtle is besamim. Interesting. All spices, the more you crush them, the more they smell. Esther, Zu Hadassah. The more you crush her, the more pressure you put on her, the more she davened, the more the besamim came out of her. Mordechai, where does that name come from? In besamim, in Chumash, it's called Mor Dror. The besamim that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was called Mor Dror. If you look in Unkelis, the Arabic translation, Mor Dror translation is Mordechai. So Mordechai was spices, and Esther was spices. And the only thing that was never metame by the Nachash, by Amalek, by Haman, was smell. So the only ones that could destroy him were two people who their essence was smell. Mor Dror, Hadassah. Because Baruch Hu prepared this war. And if you want to go a step further, the nace of Purim is hidden and smell is hidden. You can't see smell. Can't see smell. Smell is something you walk into a room, it's there. You can't see it. So the whole essence of smell is nister. The whole essence of food is not nister. You see it. You touch something, I see it. I'm looking at something, I see it. Music can also, if you ever see when there's music and there's an amp, sonar, there are levels, there are volumes. Smell, there's no volume. How much you smell it? I smell it. How much you smell it? Let's measure the volume of smell. You can't measure the volume of smell. Smell is nister. Smell is hidden. It can change from one second to the next. But a very interesting thing about smell, and some men get into trouble because of this, you go through Bloomingdale's and you want to go to the men's department, you got to walk through the perfume department. You come home and your whole jacket, everything stinks from perfume. Like, what's going on over here? Right? Because smell affects everybody that's in the room. Smell affects everything in the room. An apple I'm eating doesn't affect. I'm touching doesn't affect. I'm seeing doesn't affect everybody in the room. But if this room has smell in it, right now, everyone in the room smells it, not just me. Smell has an unbelievable kayach. And Baruch Hashem, he didn't get that. She didn't smell the fruit. Normally you smell before you eat something. She didn't smell it. So Mordechai and Esther had this kayach to take Haman down because their ikar, where they came from, was from Besamim. And the month, every month in Kabbalah, we learn that every month is a part of your face. Every month is a part of a person's face. What part, I think of is one eye, and Thomas is the other eye, and the ear. All there's 12 different parts of your face. Adar is your nose. Adar is Adam, is a person's nose. So when he thought, Haman, the best month to kill the Jews is in Adar, it was the worst month, because the only month that represents smell, which was the only thing that the Nachash didn't own, was the month of Adar. It was the worst month for him. Oh, I'm touching the iceberg here. I'm not even going anywhere. And he says here that you should know that Ein Kshafim, you should just know. He says, Ein Kshafim, Sholtin, B'mishnele, Ba'adar Sheni. No witchcraft, no black magic, no Ayin Hara has any control over a person who's born in the second month of Adar. You don't have to put on red strings, and you don't got to pour lead, and you don't got to... If you're born in Adar Sheni, nothing can touch you. You know why? Because Adar Sheni has no mazel. It doesn't have a horoscope. It's the 13th month. So it's totally, they have no power whatsoever. Because witchcraft is all based on horoscope and stars and stuff like that. The 13th month, nobody has any power. Well, I'll tell you something. He says, the Bnei Yisrael, someone asked me last night, the Bnei Yisrael says very clearly, Shamati, I heard, Shigzeras homan hoysal chodesh Adar Sheni. That the whole miracle happened in an Adar Sheni. The miracle of Purim happened in an Adar Sheni. He says, and therefore the Amalekim had no power. In that month, they tried to do things, and they had no power because it was rain. Shalom by Kishuf, there's no Kishuf. And therefore, the Kriyas Megillah, he says, the reason we read Megillah is that in Adar Sheni is because Adar Sheni, they can't do anything. Okay, this is just some stuff that's brought down in the Bnei Yisrael. Okay, let's continue. It's late, and I want to get to the subject of what's really going on of the three mitzvahs, the four mitzvahs that we have on Purim. Okay, so let me tell you what's brought down. He says the following: never ever was there a crisis that the Jewish nation was like in Purim. Hashem signed that we're all going to be dead. In fact, the Zohar says something, and I'm getting into a lot of trouble about this. Moment was, is, will be, is all the same moment business. A lot of people are calling me like, I don't understand. Hashem knows, Hashem doesn't know. How can you say Hashem doesn't know? So you have to understand that there's no time over there. There's absolutely no time. But the Zohar says that because Hashem signed the paper that we were to be destroyed, we're destroyed. Because when Hashem signs something, it happens. Because he says like this. He says, if Achashverosh can't take back Gzeirah, because we know in the Megillah Achashverosh signed Gzeirah. Esther came and said, break the Gzeirah that the idol worshippers can't kill us. Right? He said, I can't. Once it's signed by the king's ring, I can't take back what I said, but I could change and tell the Jews that they can arm themselves on that day and defend themselves. But I can't send out a letter that what I wrote before is canceled. Says the Zayar, surely if a human king signs something with a signet ring, he can't take it back. How could Hashem take back? He wrote Gzeirah that we're going to be destroyed. He signed it. How can he take it back? So the Zohar says that we all died. When the Gzeirah was written, we all died. And that every single year, Purim is a Tchias HaMesim. This is his Lashon. A Tchias HaMesim for Klal Yisrael. We all should not be here. And that's why she writes, Esther, I'll call Dovra Dar, every, if those to the Lashon, it's amazing how it fits in. Listen to what she writes at the end. By the way, you know, it was like very romantic, my share last week about the letter without the signature and the card. Everybody was like, wow, that's so true. You get a letter without an autograph and you know whose it is. You must really care about them. Whoa, Rabbi Wallerstein, I got all kinds of emails, right? You know what happened when I got home last week? I said to myself, Hashem, I think I got a little, like, too, you know, I was, like, selling it a little bit. You know, I was talking to ladies, and it's a card with flowers. You know, Hashem, maybe I abused you a little bit. Like, you sent us a card that's not covered to Hashem. Like, you know, he's not a man sending a woman a card. And here I am getting up here, you know, Hashem sent us a card, and I'm Mrs. God. Like, hello, you know, and he sent us a card, and he didn't put his name. And I got home after the shiur, and I was like, maybe I gave the shiur a little too chol. Not holy enough, you know. I sent you us a card. So you know what you do when you're not sure if you gave the right share. You open and you start learning and you try to get a message from Hashem. I give you my word. I always open to the open the beginning of Megillah. I open to the end of the Megillah. Listen to what the end of the Megillah says. Vatichtov Esther Hamalka, and Esther Hamalka wrote Bas Avichail Umarachai Yehuda as Kol Toifel Hakayim. Esther Hamalka and Mordechai the Jew wrote with full authority, right? L'kayim, to keep, es igeres ha-purim hazois, the letter of Purim hashenis. Doesn't call what happened on Purim Megillas Esther, Sefer Esther, Seder Esther, The Megillah says, what is the miracle of Purim? Igeres Purim. The letter, the postcard that wasn't signed of Purim. Hashem uses it in the Megillah. He says it wasn't a book and it wasn't a Megillah. Esther, Hamalka, and Mordechai wrote, Purim is a letter. Igeres HaPurim. So last week, when I said it was a card from Hashem without a signature, it's exactly what it was. Because that's exactly what the Megillah says. And it doesn't say it doesn't say it once, it says it twice. But it also says, L'kayim esimei apurim ha'ele bizman nehem ka'asheh kayim aleim Mordechai Yehudi. What does that mean? You should keep Purim in their time. Of course you should keep Purim in their time. You should keep Purim in any other time. And the answer is that you keep Purim in the time because every year, every time, is a new Purim, is a new Tchias HaMesim. Every Purim is a new Tchias HaMesim. Friday is a Tchias HaMesim for Klal Yisrael. Because if God wrote something, He can't take it back. So that means He recreates us every single year. Of course, you don't understand that. What do you mean? I'm here last year, I'm here this year, I didn't die. It's in Shemayim. It's in a whole different world. His nation, His child, has recreated every Purim. And I'll explain to you what that means. And then we'll finish, and I'll explain to you the mitzvahs and how that ties in. Amazing. And he says the following. Crisis. Hashem wrote, we're all destroyed, we're all gone. What's the difference between Purim and Yom Kippur? Right? It says, Purim is holier than Yom Kippur. What do you mean it's holier than Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, I davened. I got on the floor and I bowed down. I screamed Baruch Shem Kavod out loud. What do you mean Purim is holier? Let me explain to you why Purim is holy. Why girls, Purim morning, you got to get up and you got to go over to Sikkim, you got to daven at 6:57 Shemoneh Esrei, and you got to open your heart that next year no one should get shot and no one should get killed, Chas Shemoneh Esrei, and you got to daven for the people who don't have children and the people who aren't married and the people who need refuahs and all the sick people, because Purim morning you could do stuff that you can't do on Yom Kippur, and I'll explain to you why. Because on Purim was written that God's child is dead. Dead. Written. Finished. Tough. Children, women, men, signed off, Hashem signed, we're done, moch, rush, wiped out, our words are gone, our letters are gone, everything is gone. Let me, chas v'shalom, it should never happen to anyone. A mother standing on the side of the street with her little boy, a little 7-year-old Yanko. She says, Yanko, don't go off the curb. Yanko, don't go in the gutter. Yanko, don't go into that street. I'm telling you, I told you 100 times, I know you're playful. I'm going to turn around for 2 minutes, I got to do something, don't go into that street. She turns around for a minute. Yanko runs into the street. Car hits him. He goes flying into the air. He lands on the floor. She turns around. And the worst thing in her, the worst thing that she could imagine happened, he's laying in a pool of blood. She runs into the middle of the street. She picks up her Yanko. And she starts screaming, Yanko, Yanko, talk to me. Yanko, say something. Open your eyes. I just need to know that you're alive. Could you imagine a mother walking into the street, her child's in a pool of blood, pick up the child and say, I told you not to go into the street. What's wrong with you? Why don't you ever listen to me? Stupid kid. No mother on this world, that would not be her reaction. Her reaction would be to run into the street and pick up that child and call Hatzalah, someone call Hatzalah. My son, I don't know what happened. Talk to me, uncle. Just say a word. Just show me that you're alive. That's Purim. On Purim morning, Hashem wrote that we are dead. We got hit by a car. We're finished as a nation. It's over. It's over. His only child. He has no other children. The idol worshippers are not his children. His only child ran into the street. Mordechai was screaming, don't go to the party. And he turned around for a second and we ran into the party. And now we're dead in the middle of the street. We're bleeding. And all Hashem wants to know is my baby, is my son, is Klai Yisrael, are you still alive? So on Purim, he picks us up from the middle of the street and he gives us this big hug and he doesn't want to let go and he says, breathe! Say something! Cry! Open your eyes! Tell me you're alive! He doesn't look at our Averos. He doesn't say, I told you not to go to the party. You deserve this because you're not good Jews. He feels he's losing us as a nation. We're in the middle of the street bleeding. Comes Purim morning, he grabs us and he holds us and he says, just say something to me. So comes Purim morning, when God is holding you in his hands and you're bleeding and he thinks that you're gone and he just needs you to say something, and you get up in the morning and say, Hashem, I'm alive, and Hashem, I love you, and Hashem, help us. He doesn't say, well, let's take out her book.
and see if she deserves a shidduch. She's lying in the middle of the street bleeding. That's what you're going to do? Take out my book and see if I deserve a shidduch? I'm alive. Help me. So on Yom Kippur, when you ask Hashem for things, din v'cheshben, let's see her book. Let's see what she did. Let's put it on the scale. Let's see if she deserves it. You got a tough time, Yom Kippur. Purim is much greater than Yom Kippur. There is no scale. It doesn't know how bad a girl you were a whole year, how bad a boy you were a whole year. It don't matter when the kid's laying in the middle of the street that he deserved it, that he did everything wrong, that he didn't put on a seatbelt. Who cares? The mother and father don't care. Just say something to me. Hatzalah, help. That is what happened Purim morning, girls. Purim morning, a whole Purim, you can daven to Hashem. You can ask for anything. None of the books are open. Your books don't get open. There's no judgment. We're dead. Why were we dead? We were so dead, we had nobody in the world. Mordechai came back. He said, I went to Shemayim. Esther came back and said, we're dead. Hashem signed the paper. They said, okay, what about Mordechai? The Gadol, maybe he'll save us. Mordechai the Gadol, the Meshuggah, he got us into the whole thing. If he would have bowed down to Haman, we'd be fine. The Jews hated him. Not only they hated him, but Sanhedrin, they said, what are you doing? You're a rabbi. See what happens when you hang out with politicians? If you would have stayed in yeshiva and learned with us, this whole thing with Haman and Achshash wouldn't happen. Why don't you stay in yeshiva? So they didn't like him either. So nobody liked Mordechai. They said, but we have a girl, we have a spy, and she's in the kingdom. She's going to save us. And then Esther goes ahead, becomes the biggest traitor in the world. In the Shushan news, Queen Esther invites Haman to her party. And the Jews are walking around. I can't believe it. She's a traitor. So they didn't have God. God wrote them off. They didn't have a Chafetz Chaim, a rabbi, because Mordechai, they thought, was off the wall. The girl in the government was a traitor. They didn't have anybody. So where did they turn? To the army? To beg the idol worshippers not to hurt them, to make friends with them. They turned to Hashem. Hashem said, what's going on here? Imagine, Chas v'Shalom, a guy's getting divorced from his wife. God forbid. She is giving him a hard time. She is suing him for everything. She wants his shoes and his socks. She is so miserable. She's taking him to the cleaners. So he goes to his in-laws and he says to them, listen, hey, Dad, you know, when we were married, you were a good father-in-law. Could you tell her to back off a little bit? And he's like, you crazy? I'm paying for the lawyers that they should nail you. And he goes to his mother and he says, hey, Mom, come on. You know, you used to bake that stuff. She said, are you kidding me? We hate you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to take the kids away from you. And he's like, oh, my goodness. And he goes to his rabbi. He says, Rabbi, you got to help me with this divorce. The rabbi says, help you? You lowlife. I'm going to run you out of town. I don't have anything to do with you. I'm going to put you in cherem. You're done. And he goes running to his friends. And his friend says, you? My wife said, I can't talk to you. And he turns around, right? What is he going to do? So he's going to turn around, get angry, say, yeah, I'll take you all down. No, this guy goes, can you believe it? And he knocks on his wife's door, and he says, I'm really sorry for all the times I spoke bad to you. And I'm sorry for treating you so bad. And he has a rose and a box of chocolate and a card. And I love you so much. Are you crazy? This woman's taking you to the cleaners. Your in-laws are paying for it. Now you're going to go back the normal reaction is, you're going to take me there? I'm going to take you so far down, you're never going to see the sunlight again. I'm going to get lawyers. I'm angry. So Hashem said, what's going on over here? I told the Jews, they're finished. Mordechai, he's a wacko. Esther, she's a traitor. And now, instead of going to the idol worshippers and becoming like them, they're coming to Hashem and saying, we're sorry, and we love you. I'm the God that wrote, I'm going to kill you. I signed on the paper the electric chair. And you're coming back to me? Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, that moment in time never, ever happened before or will happen after. Never. That we, when we lost everything, who did we turn to? We had no one left. We turned back to the one who signed our death warrant. We turned back to Hashem. That showing of love, that outpouring of love, triggered a love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will never be seen again. It only happens on Purim. It can never happen again. And that's why when Mashiach comes, everyone wants Mashiach. It's the moment. It's the revelation. Hashem says, one yontif stays. Purim.
Pesach goes, Shavuos goes, Hanukkah goes, everything goes, but I'm not letting go of that moment when I signed your death warrant and you had no one to go to and you came back to me. I'm not letting that go, because even Mashiach is not bigger than that. That's how big that moment is. Purim will last forever. That's what we're walking into, ladies. That's what we're coming into Sunday morning. This is not a party day to act like a meshugana and drink. That's not what Purim is about. This is the Holy of Holies, when the Jewish nation came back to the one who signed the death warrant and said, 22,000 children fasted for 3 days and said, Hashem, I love you. I don't care what you wrote. You want me to die? I'll die. I don't care. You want to take me to the cleaners? Take me to the cleaners. You want to divorce me? Divorce me. You want to kill me? Kill me. I love you anyway. Whoa. Whoa. You love me anyway? Hashem said, what's the words? Anyone who puts out their hand on Purim, put something in it. Hashem said, that's how you feel about me? Just put your hand out. Just ask. How could you say no to such a person? So Hashem says, on Purim, just ask. But you have to get to that level. You have to understand Purim morning, what's going on over here. Sorry, I got a little carried away. So that's Mikra Megillah, and that's Matanos Levyonim, and that's Shlach Manos. So let me explain to you. The four mitzvahs. Mikra Megillah. Megillah means Megala, to show everybody the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much He loves us, and how secretly, just, I'm sorry it's going to take so long, but it's a Purim share. Yeah? You'll have to take this for the whole Purim. The first pasuk in Megillah, I want to show you for a second how much Hashem loves us secretly. The first pasuk in second pasuk in Megillah. If you look in the Megillah, what does it say? Vayhibi me Achashverosh. And it was in the days of Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? We used to make a joke. He was hard of hearing. Who Achashverosh? Well, let's say it over again. All right, okay. You had to be there. Anyway, Hamalech Mehodav Shekush. Okay, very nice. Achashverosh was the king for 127. Then there's a weird pasuk. And the pasuk says, Bayama Mehem, in those days. Of course it was in those days. What other days was it? What's the Bayama Mehem? In those days. Of course it was in those days. Question number one. Kishavas Hamalech Achashverosh al Kisei Malchuso. He was sitting on his throne. Thank you very much. I think everyone in this room, when they were in second grade, knew. Where does the king sit? On his throne. Torah has, Megillah Esther has to tell me that he was sitting on a throne. No, I thought he was sitting on his lounger. Of course he was sitting on a throne. Why does the pasuk have to tell me he was sitting on a throne? And then, what does it say? And you know where the throne was? Of Shushan HaBira. Hello? If the castle is in Shushan HaBira, and he's the king in Shushan HaBira, would his throne be in Florida? Of course his throne is in Shushan HaBira. What is this pasuk telling us? Girls, you're learning this for 20 years? 18 years? 16 years? What's going on over here? I just a synopsis of one pasuk. I can go through a lot more. Listen to what this pasuk is telling us. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babel. He was the king of the whole world. It was called the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar, when he was thrown off, was taken over by a guy named Koresh. Koresh now became the king of the Babylonian Empire. When Koresh died, guess who became king? Achashverosh. Not the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire. Now, the Babylonian Empire, the capital was in Iraq. That's where the capital was. Shushan was in Iran. What was Achashverosh doing in Shushan, in Persia, when the capital of his empire was in Iraq? So the Medrash tells us the famous story that he wanted Shlomo HaMelech's throne. Shlomo HaMelech built a throne that had lions and tigers and things all the way up the throne, and that any person who tried to get to the king on the top of the throne, if he had bad intentions or he wasn't accepted, the lions would rip him into pieces. Achashverosh said, that is cool. I want to have such a throne. But what happened is there was a king named Paro that came after Shlomo HaMelech who took the throne and tried to use it, and when he tried to go up the steps to sit on the throne, one of the lions took a nice big chunk out of his leg, and he became known as the Paro, the lame Paro. He couldn't walk. So Achashverosh wasn't stupid. He said, I'm not going to take Shlomo HaMelech's throne because I'm not going to make it up. The lion's going to eat me, but I'm going to make an exact replica that everyone's going to think that I have Shlomo HaMelech's. He was very into himself. That I'm sitting on Shlomo HaMelech's throne, and they're going to see that I walk up and nothing happened. And they made a contraption, a Persian contraption, that he could make the lions move and bite, even though they weren't real, right? And he needed Persian craftsmen, because the Persian craftsmen were the best craftsmen in the world. They make the rugs. They're very crafty. They're very good with their hands. So he hired a bunch of Persian guys to make his, and they made it in Shushan, in some little town named Shushan. And they built this beautiful throne. And now he said to them, okay, let's move it to my capital in Iraq, in the Babylonian Empire. And they said, uh-oh. This thing is made out of solid gold. We can't move it. It weighs thousands of tons. We can't move it. He said, well, what do you mean you can't move it? They said, we can't move it. He said, okay, in that case, I'll move the whole castle. I'll build a castle around the throne. And yeah, this is what happened. The Medrash says, so he went, it's in the Persian, it's written in there. And he went to Persia from Iraq. He went to Iran because he couldn't move the throne. And he built the castle around his throne so that he could fool everybody. So what does the Megillah tell us? Why did Hashem make that happen? Why wasn't he smart enough to bring the Persian guys to Iraq and build the throne in his castle? Because Hashem needed these two tzaddikim to save Klal Yisrael. And these two tzaddikim, Mordechai and Esther, lived in Shushan. And if he was building in Iraq, right, and he had the party in Iraq, Mordechai and Esther wouldn't even have known about the party. The Jews in Iraq would have gone to the party, and there would have been no one to save us. So Hashem made it in such a way. So comes the Pasuk and wants to tell you how much Hashem loves us. In those days, because the days before that, his capital was in Iraq. Now he had to move, especially in those days, because his throne was built and they couldn't move it. So by Yom Ha'im, Kishavas HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchusar, and the whole reason they had to move was because Achashverosh wanted to sit on his throne of his kingdom, Asher, Shushan HaBira. The throne was in Shushan HaBira, so that's where he had to sit. And therefore, he had to sit, and the whole thing, party was in Shushan HaBira, where Mordechai and Esther lived, and that's where they were able to save us. So in the second pasuk of where the throne was that Achashverosh sat on, Hashem already put in the refuah to save us, that he should end up in a city, in a town, where Mordechai and Esther would be. Shh. And Hashem doesn't like us. It's Nistar. It's hidden in a lousy throne. In a lousy throne. The whole saving of Klal Yisrael is hidden in a throne that they made too heavy to move. Who would look at that in history, Persian history, and say, oh, that's God's hand. He's saving the Jews. Guess what? They made a throne they can't move. Second pasuk in the Megillah. You don't have to go further. There's so much hidden. The whole miracle is hidden. And therefore, there are four mitzvahs. Mikra Megillah is the most important thing. Megillah means Megala. We got to get up by Megillah. And we got to listen to this amazing miracle that's totally hidden, like besamim. You don't see it, but you can smell it. Matanas le'evyonim. So now we have a problem. I want Purim. I want to give back to Hashem. I want to give him back for what he did for me my whole life. But how do I give Hashem back? He doesn't need anything. He needs my money. What does he need? He doesn't need anything. So if you have a person next door to you who has everything, and you want to give them something, but they have kids and they're out in Kailo learning somewhere, so you give it to their kids. You buy their kids a house. You can't buy them a house. They have one already. So many times, the way to make a father and mother happy is to take care of their children. So on Purim, there are two things we have to thank Hashem. Nistar and Niglar. Things that are hidden and things that are open. The things that are necessities in the world, air, water, food, it's all necessities that we need to have to live. But you don't have to have Coca-Cola, and you don't have to have watermelon, and you don't have to have poppy seeds on your challah, and you can wear clothing, but you don't have to have minks, and you don't have to have designer clothing, and you can wear shoes, but you don't have to wear fancy shoes. So there's two things that Hashem gives us. There's a necessity, bare necessity that we need, bread and water, and then he gives you go to a fruit store Erev Shabbos, apples, and now they have from Chile, nectarines and peaches and plums and alamaises, things, 100 different colors and 100 different fruits. And Hashem could have made flowers in the world. He could have made roses. It has a smell, it has a color. Why do you make all the other flowers? So there's two things in the world. There's necessity, and then there's just a sign of giving us things that we don't need. So the example is like this. So Matanas Le'evyonim is necessity. For instance, Chaim standing here next to me, and he comes to all my shiurim. This is Chaim. Hi, meet Chaim. He's married, so forget about him. And he comes to all my shiurim, and he writes notes. And I see that every week he writes notes with this bent up, chewed up, Bic pen. So I feel bad for him. So I think he needs a new pen. So next week I'm going to go out, and I'm going to buy a Parker, $2, Parker pen. And I'm going to give him next week a present to Chaim. Hey, you need a new pen. Here is my Parker. Now, does that mean that I love Chaim? No. That means that I see that Chaim needs something, and therefore I am giving him that need. Does it mean I love the guy? Okay. Now, what happens if he's sitting here and he's chewing on his pen, his big pen, and I say, you know what, I really love Chaim. I love him. He's my Talmud Muvik. He's always there for me. I really love him. I'm not buying him a Parker. I'm going to a store, and I'm buying him a Mont Blanc 450, 14-carat gold fountain pen. And I come, and I give him this fountain pen. What am I telling Chaim? That it's not about necessity. It's, I love you, and I want to show you how much I love you, so I'm buying you this beautiful pen. I could have bought you a regular, you know, Parker or whatever, but I'm showing you my love. So, even though you could say it is Hashem's love, but there are necessities that we need. So Hashem, you give me water? Thank you. Hashem, you give me bread? Thank you. That's Matanos Levyonim. That's how you're thanking Hashem, that He gives you your basics and your necessities. And Evyon is a poor person. He needs to eat. So when you give the poor people, now don't forget, you can't give Hashem, so you're giving His children. When you give the poor people $5 and $5 because they need it, you're saying to Hashem, I am paying you back. I want to show you that I appreciate the things you give me in life that are necessities that I take for granted. That I can see, that I can eat, that I can breathe, that I can drink. All these things that I take for granted, that's Matanos Levyonim. And that's why you have to give to two people, because there's a lot of necessity in the world, so you got to give at least two people, because people need, they're poor people. Okay, Shlach Manos is how I show Hashem I love him. The guy next door to me, he's a multi-millionaire. He has 1,400 trucks pulling up to his house on Purim with every Shlach Manos you could ever imagine from every different place. Comes in Zechariah Wallerstein with his little apple and his little piece of cake. Shalom, Yankel, I got your shlachmanis here. He needs my shlachmanis. He's got an orchard growing in his kitchen. He's got fruit coming out of his ears. I walk in with my apple. He doesn't need my apple. Exactly, you don't need my apple. You know why I'm giving you this apple? Because I love you. Because if I gave it to you because you needed it, it doesn't mean I love you. It means I have pity on you. But I give someone something that they don't need. And that's why, girls, by the way, jewelry. What's the whole thing of jewelry? Who sold this whole idea? That you should buy a woman jewelry. You need a diamond? Can you eat a diamond? Can you chew on a diamond? Does a diamond give you life? So what's the whole thing of buying a girl a diamond or buying a woman jewelry? And the answer is that when you give someone something they don't need, that means you love them. If you buy your wife, she's freezing, and you go out and you buy her a sweater, right? That doesn't mean you love her. She needs a sweater. Imagine if a guy walked home for his anniversary and he said, darling, you know what I bought you for the anniversary? A vacuum cleaner. She will throw him out with the vacuum cleaner. Why? You needed it. It broke. The belt broke. The thing broke. It was all stuffed. I saw you yesterday. It wasn't working. You were kvetching. I'm a great husband. She's like, that's what you bought me for my anniversary? Something that I need? Yeah, I came home. I got a dozen paper towels on sale. I love you. You don't love me. I need paper towels. When a guy comes home and he brings her a rose, she doesn't need a rose. A rose costs $2.50. She don't need a rose. That's a sign that you love the person. I bought you something you don't need means it's not a necessity. So jewelry, the whole thing of jewelry, of buying a woman jewelry, is because she doesn't need it. If she needs it, Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, then it's not a sign of love. If she tells you, go out right now, go out and buy me a 3-carat diamond ring, and you buy it for her, it means nothing. Because it's a necessity. She's telling you what she needs. But if she says, and of course, the reaction of when you buy usually a woman jewelry, your wife jewelry, oh, come on, I don't need that. And that's exactly why you bought it for her. Because you don't need it. Sometimes we guys, we buy such stupid things, they really don't need it. And they never wear it. But that's the godless. So comes Shlachmanos. Hashem says, Shlachmanos Ishlareyehu. And I'm ending with this because it's a very big secret. Ishlareyehu, don't send Shlachmanos to two people. It's two items to one person is the mitzvah. Because what are we representing in the mitzvah of Shlachmanos when you give it? My love for you, Hashem. There's only room when it comes to love. There's only room between one and one. There can be no one in between. There can't be two. If there's a third person, I said it's a therapist or adultery. There's no room for the third person. So Shlachmanos, Hashem says Shlachmanos Ishrayeyu, one to one. You want to give more at something, but when you give that first Shlachmanos, you have to have in mind, Hashem, I'm giving this person Shlachmanos. I'm thanking you for all the extra stuff you give me that I don't need. When you give Matanos Levyonim, you say to yourself, thank you, Hashem, for all the things that are necessary in my life that I do need, air, water, whatever it is. That's how you have to do it. And then, last but not least, comes the Sudas Purim, which is at the end. You're supposed to give shlachmanas, megillah, and matanos avyonim before you go to the meal. Because the meal, girls, is the tikkun on the meal that we went to Achashverosh's party. And to fix that, to take back the kedusha that we had, you have to be on such a level at that point that your party, that you're throwing, that you're drinking wine, that you're that has to be on a level, a crazy level, that you're so kaddish that the whole meal is a tikkun. You sit down to that suda and you say, I'm being misakein. When my Gilgul, when I went to that party of Achashverosh and I didn't listen to Mordechai, look Hashem, I am making a party, the kedusha, the tahira, in holiness, in cleanliness. We're going to sit at this party, we're going to talk about you, we're going to thank you, we're going to eat, we're going to make brachas. They made brachas and their stuff went to the other side. We're going to make brachas and it's going to go to your side. And that's the whole secret of Purim, and that's what Purim is all about. So I just want to give everyone a bracha. Yeah, long share, sorry. I want to give everyone a bracha that this Purim, and you have to know that yayin also, that there's no mitzvah in drinking whiskey or anything like that. The mitzvah is yayin because the Eitz Hadas was yayin. So the tikkun for the whole thing is to drink wine. And even a girl, you shouldn't drink enough to get drunk. Now, just one thing, there's an aura when you drink the wine. So there's an Ora Mordechai that we're supposed to think Ora Mordechai for a second. Cursed is Mordechai, and blessed is Haman. And for years I've been telling you that Mordechai, the Mashiach, and all this. I just want to tell you another thought that I heard of Shimshon Pinkus. I heard a tape yesterday. He was a malach. Hashem took him away from this world. I don't know what we did wrong to lose him, but he was a malach. You know what he said? He said that the reason that we curse Mordechai when we're drunk is because as long as Mordechai was there, it took a little bit from our relationship with Hashem. As long as you have a tzaddik, you can go to the tzaddik. As long as you have a tzaddik, but when you have nobody, nobody left, it's just me and you, Hashem. So Mordechai, you got a little bit in the way. There's a little curse to you, Mordechai. You got between me and Hashem. It wasn't just me and God. Mordechai, a tzaddik, you know, he saved us. I wish it would have just been the two of us, God, just me and you. No Mordechai, no Esther, no nothing. Just me and you. So you know what, Mordechai, you got a little bit in the way. When you're in your yayin, when you're on that level, you know what? I wish there were no tzaddikim in the world. I wish there was no one to help us. I wish it was just me and you, God. Wow. And what's the Baruch Haman? And Haman, thank you for pushing me into God's arms. You pushed me. Thank you. Thank you for making it so miserable. You pushed me into Hashem's hands, to Hashem's embrace. You know what? If I really understood, you get a little bit of a bracha, Mr. Haman. And Mordechai, you got a little bit in the way, because I really just want to be me and God. That's the point you have to be by the Seudas Purim girls. You're on such a high level that I wish there was no rabbis in the world. I wish there was no tzaddikim. I wish there was no ornava. I wish there was nothing, God. I wish that the whole world was against me. And the only one I believe in that could help me would be you. Just me and you. Yichud. Just me and you in the room. Check the whole room, make sure there's no one else in the room. Ah, what a relationship. But I can only say that when I'm drunk. You have to be on that level. A person can only say that when they're drunk. When they're back in this world, we need everybody. We need everybody. That's the point that a person has to be by the end of the Suda. So my bracha to everybody is that by the end of the Suda coming, it's one crazy day because you're going from Purim into Shabbos. It's like you could hit spots in Shemayim on this Yontif like you never hit before in your spirituality. This is your chance. This is your red light. This is where you can absolutely soar. So my bracha to everyone is that on Purim, Nebuchadnezzar, The Klai Yisrael walked into the middle of the street and we got hit by Haman and Achashverosh and we were laying there bleeding and we were laying there dying and HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked us up and he gave us this crazy hug and he screamed, Yisrael, Yisrael, say something. Yisrael, Yisrael, tell me that you're alive. And if you ever saw Chas V'Shalom an accident, I saw once an accident. Where actually, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't because the mother pulled the kid away from the car, was coming down the road. She pulled him out of the gutter, mamish an eighth of a second before he got hit. And I watched this mother, and she hugged this kid. She didn't scream at him for yelling at him. She just started crying, and she held this kid, and she just didn't want to ever let him go. Because she realized that with 1 second he was gone. And she never wanted to let him go. May Hashem have the same feeling that all of us, that he never will ever again want to let us go. And he should bring us Mashiach, and where he will hug Klai Yisrael And where once again, we will see Purim. Because in Mashiach's time, there will be a Purim, and there will be a moment where Hashem will open His heart like He never did before. May Hashem listen to all your tefillahs. Use your head. Ask for the right things, girls. Ask for the right things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you kol shepoy shed yad. Whoever puts out their hand, nice and light. This Purim Hashem will give us Mashiach, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen.